Welcome to Gripecast with your host, Alex Hernandez. This show is dedicated to consumer technology news and pop culture. Gripecast is owned by Techeris. Visit techeris.com for the latest tech reviews, news, entertainment, and pop culture. Now sit tight, the show's about to begin. Hey guys, welcome to Gripecast, episode 5, the least listened to podcast on the internet. Welcome back, guys. This is episode 5. I missed last week. I had a lot of things going on. Still very busy for me. A lot of things happening in my life and a lot of things I have to adjust to. And I just didn't have the time to do a podcast last week, so I apologize for that. But we're back. So thank you for listening and tuning in and checking us out. Before I dive into today's topics, I do want to say that we did a giveaway the last podcast I had a giveaway slated, and not a lot of people entered. So actually only had 4 people enter. So what I did is I took the first comment. So to enter, you had to comment on the YouTube video or the Rumble video. So I had 4 comments. I took the comment from YouTube. That was the very first comment. And the next 3 comments came from Rumble. So there's 4 comments in total. So I took those comments and I counted YouTube as number 1. And then the next as 2, 3, and 4 on Rumble. So we have 4 players and I used the random number generator. And we came up with right here, number 3. And that is comment number 3. So YouTube comment did not win. First YouTube comment or Rumble comment did not win. It's the second Rumble comment that won. I will reach out to you on Rumble. I don't remember the screen name, but you are the winner of the Alienware keyboard and mouse. And we will make sure that we have... that we get that out to you as soon as we get an address. If you don't respond within a few days, then we'll have to choose another winner. But for now, our winner is on Rumble, and it's the second comment in the comment section. It's a kind of a different screen name, so I don't really remember the screen name. It's not a proper name. So anyway, congratulations on that. I kind of want to just get that out of the way. Before we continue. So that giveaway is now closed. Thanks for entering. Hopefully we'll do more giveaways as we can. Shipping's getting to be a pain in the butt lately. It's a lot of... very costly. So most of our giveaways right now are only going to be for the States. But maybe we can grow to a point where we can offer international giveaways. But anyway, welcome back, guys. There's a lot going on in the tech world. So many things happening. And I'm just kind of ramble my way through some of the thoughts I had these past couple of weeks. And we're going to touch on a lot of things. Well, not a lot of things, but a few things and, discuss a little bit about each of them. The first up, Delta game emulator has just been released for iPhone on iOS, designed for iPhone. It's up here on my screen if you're watching on YouTube or Rumble. You know, we know that Apple is very, closed source. They don't do a whole lot of, they don't open up their ecosystem very often, but we just found out that they are now, allowing, emulators on the App Store. So yeah, there was one that came out last week and it was pulled by Apple. Can't remember the reasons why, but I know that users are complaining about an extreme number of ads and a lot of permissions that were kind of questionable. And you're going to get this. You're going to get developers, you know, quote, air quotes, developers who are going to try to take advantage of people and maybe scrape some data or do things like that. But right now, as it sits, this Delta game emulator seems to be a winner, and people are enjoying it. I downloaded it myself, and I got a couple of ROMs on it, and I'll show that to you in a minute. But what's really nice about this one is the data is not collected. If you look here on my screen, if you go to the, and we'll link to the Delta emulator on in the show notes, but developer test.tech indicates that privacy practices may include handling of data as described below, which is data not collected. So that's a really good thing. Essentially, what this app is it just takes Nintendo ROMs and puts them on your phone so you can play them. So it's pretty cool. You will have to be responsible for finding your own ROMs, and I am not going to tell you where to get ROMs. You will just have to do some searching on the internet and figure that out on your own. But at any rate, I have been playing Super Mario Brothers and Legend of Zelda, Contra. I am so happy to play Contra again. It's been years. But man, it's so fun. But yeah, it's a pretty cool. And if you're watching on YouTube or Rumble, you'll see I'm going to hold my phone up here. It may not show very well, but those are the ROMs I have installed right now on this app. And I am using the GameSir G8 Galileo controller, and that works flawlessly. Let me take that back. It doesn't work flawlessly. It works, except for you. This is a Xbox style controller, so the button configurations are going to be a little bit different. So you'll just have to poke around to figure out which ones like jump and attack and all that kind of stuff. Mike Tyson's Punch Out, that's fun, but it took me a couple minutes to figure out my moves on there because I'm just used to the Xbox configurations. So anyway, the emulator itself comes in, if you're looking at the screen here, it comes with the buttons on screen. So it gives you, it almost looks like a Game Boy. You're able to play the games with on-screen controls. And I tried this and I found it to be a little hard because there's no tactile feedback on the buttons, so sometimes you're mashing things that you don't intend to. But at any rate, you can get all sorts of ROMs, all sorts of Nintendo ROMs from this thing. And let's see, it says, let's read a little bit on the, they've just updated it. So what's new? Local multiplayer, play multiplayer NES, SNES, and N64 games with friends, and it supports up to 4 players. There's AirPlay support, so you can stream your game. You can stream your games to the big screen with AirPlay. So you can stream these games over to your television and play on your TV, which is freaking awesome. Improved automatically resolves cheat plus controller skin sync conflicts. That is a mouthful. Let's see. Non-MiFi controller support, new default mappings for single Joy-Cons and Switch NES, SNES controllers. So you have compatibility with Joy-Cons and Switch and NES, SNES controllers, which is nice. There's a bunch of fixes here. But yeah, I mean, I will link to this down below in the show notes, the Delta Game Emulator. Really, really cool and fun. Especially if you're into retro gaming, or if you're an old dude like me who grew up on, Nintendo and Atari. And the older games that are pretty simple by today's standards, but just fun. I played Zelda today, and man, that brought back memories. A lot of fun. And it does have a save feature, so you can save your game. So you save your progress. So I will link to that in the show notes, so that you can check it out. And I will also link to the GameSir G8 Galileo. We did a review on that, actually. Jason over on the site did a full review on it. We'll link to that. I ended up buying one myself because I have big hands, and all the mobile game controllers that I've used, while they're good, just were not comfortable enough for my hands for playing a long stints at a time. So this G8 Galileo is just fantastic. And I know Razer's just come out with a new mobile controller as well that looks like this Gamester, or vice versa. Who knows? Everybody copies each other these days anymore, huh? So yeah, Delta Game Emulator for iPhone. Finally, Apple is allowing this on the App Store, and who knows, maybe 2024 is the year that Apple's going to be opening up a lot of stuff. We shall see. Took them a long time. But anyway, let's talk about Vasa 1 from Microsoft. This is pretty crazy, guys. If you're looking at my screen, you'll see there are some videos playing. So Microsoft just announced the Vasa 1 AI. So they're able to create an AI video of someone using just a portrait photo and some audio of their voice. So I'll play, you know, I'll open this up and we'll play a little bit of this particular clip, and we'll play a couple of them here so you can hear. I know if you're listening, you can't see, but you can at least hear. What you'll hear is a completely AI-generated voice, so it'll be interesting. We're going to see if we can get the volume correct here. Apologies if we come off too loud here, but here we are. This is Vasa 1 by Microsoft Research, and this is an AI-generated video, and the gentleman speaking is AI-generated using just a photo and voice, a sample of a voice. So all the voice that you hear, the words that you hear are all AI-generated. So here we go.
If you plan to go for a run and you don't have enough time to do a full run, do part of a run. If you plan to go to the gym today, but you don't have the full hour that you normally work out, do some push-ups. Run up and down the stairs. Go out. If you.
So there's that one. So let's see. I got some more videos that here. Eduardo Borges posted on X, and we'll play another one. This is the first one that I saw last night when I saw this announcement, and this is a lady speaking, and
so,
it's just interesting.
Know, sometimes nothing happens, and sometimes everything happens all at once, and you just kind of deal with it. And it's also just strange to both be extremely worried about different things and have your anxiety levels like peak to the highest they've ever been, and then also be extremely happy and grateful that you were able to buy an apartment. You know, it's all these conflicting emotions. They had their way with me. Let's just say I had so many opportunities to.
So there you go. That is AI video and audio. And this person looks, I mean, real. Almost all the movements that you see here. And if you're just listening on the podcast, I encourage you just to check out YouTube or Rumble. Go to our channels there, and so you can watch these videos. A link down below as well in the show notes, so you can check out Eduardo's post. At any rate, few people had said that it is difficult to see the that this is fake, but there are some signs, and it's generally around the eyes where AI has a little trouble right now. It's kind of like with AI photos. AI photos has, you know, if you go and do something in Midjourney and it's a person and they happen to have their hands or their feet exposed, and Midjourney sometimes has a problem doing fingers and toes, and or they'll generate a second arm, stuff like that. You know if you look at these images, you can see those anomalies. And that's the same case here. It's not perfect, but man, it's insane. And we're getting to a point where I think that we're just nothing's going to be real anymore. Question everything, especially when they're trying to sell you anything. But this is a good thread here. Eduardo has a good number of examples. And then he shows you how you can use Vasa 1 to actually generate your own video. So make sure you check out the show notes and check out this Microsoft Vasa 1 AI. Unfortunately, I mean, I don't want to say unfortunately, but it is sure looking like the future of YouTube videos and hosting the future of content creation might be going toward AI. Sadly, I'm not keen on following an AI personality. I like humans. Okay, I'm old school. I like humans, so this is not for me. And we'll continue to make content the human way as long as reasonably possible. So you don't have anything to worry about me throwing up an AI generated Alex here to talk to you on the least listened to podcast on the internet. So at any rate, all right. That is Vasa 1. It's brand new. It was just kind of announced yesterday, and it's just interesting and intriguing to know about. You guys let me know in whatever social media platform you're on what you think of Vasa 1, and what do you think about AI in general, AI generated images and video. I think that we're asking for trouble on a lot of this stuff in a variety of ways. So we'll see how it all shakes out, I guess. And that's that. All right. Google Pixel 9 phones. Upcoming Google Pixel 9, I think sometime in September. Might have emergency satellite messaging. So Apple has this already back in 2022. They launched a feature that if you're in a remote area and you don't have a cell signal and you're in trouble, you need help, you could use satellite calling to get a hold of someone, which is great. And it looks like Google is catching up with that, and it looks like possibly it will incorporate the same messaging service as Apple. In Gadget Reports on it says, it often feels like we live in a fully connected world, but anyone who has been caught without a signal at a time of need can call you. Can tell you it's far from true. And you know, we live here in rural southern Missouri, and I drive. We have a lot of hilly and mountainous areas around here, and we drive through these curvy areas and tend to drop signal quite frequently. So I mean, while we are connected. At least big cities are connected. But when you get out to the rural areas, sometimes you struggle to get a signal. We have Starlink. We have Starlink now. But when we first moved out here, I was using CenturyLink, and CenturyLink was horrible. 5 megabits per second download, and I couldn't get work done. So Verizon LTE, home LTE, ended up coming out here, and we got them. So we were able to get somewhere like 20 or 30, which was way better than the 5 that we were getting from CenturyLink. And then finally Starlink was able to come out here, and now we're, you know, it's not blazing. So it's not the same internet speeds I had when I was in Chicago or in Des Moines. You know, I was getting gig service up there, but here, you know, with Starlink, you know, on a good day, 200 megabits per second download, which is, it's doable. It's usable. So it's way more usable than that CenturyLink. So anyway, so Engadget goes on to say emergency satellite connectivity is a solution to this problem. And one, the Google 9, Pixel 9 series and next generation Google Fold will allegedly offer, according to Android Authority. The feature will purportedly be available for T-Mobile customers first, thanks to the network's provider partnership with SpaceX to create satellite messaging. Could become available on other networks in the future. The messaging service will allegedly ask users questions such as what best describes your situation and are there weapons involved? Oh, okay. It's unclear whether the feature will be free for Google Pixel 9 and next-gen Google Fold users. T-Mobile hasn't confirmed pricing for its satellite messaging service in previous announcements. So there you are, you Pixel 9 owners, and there's no word on it on here whether or not older Pixels will get the same treatment. My guess is that what Google will do is they will roll this service out, satellite connectivity, on the Pixel 9, and then slowly roll it out to older versions, probably Pixel 8, Pixel 7. I don't think they'd go further down the Pixel 7 if the hardware supports it. So the hardware may not support it. I don't know how that's going to work for them. So I can't say for certain on that. So there you are. Google Pixel 9 owners, you guys will have satellite. You might have satellite messaging. Might. That's a rumor. Let's just call it. Let's just make sure we call it what it is, because we don't want to make any announcements here. All right. Let's see. What do we got? What do we got? Oh, yeah. Well, here we go. More on the state of Google search. Yes. So this is, you know, I've talked already several times on my podcast in the past about what's happening with Google search and how we've been affected and other websites have been affected, you know. And as this past month and a half have gone by, I'm seeing more and more stories of how Google is destroying people's websites. And a lot of hard work that we all put in, and it's just been thrown to the wind. Luke Jordan here says, Google destroyed my business and they changed the rules. Let's see here. Let me open this up. All right. He says, Google destroyed my business. They changed the rules and they made the decision on behalf of our users that we were no longer what they were looking for. So you can see his graph here. If you're looking, he's quite a bit bigger than I am. He's got 262 million impressions and 7.63 million clicks. And, you know, we're not that, that's quite a bit, but his graph looks a lot like our graph. It's just decline, boom, 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 boom. And it looks like he was affected way back in December. We really didn't see the pinch until the end of January is when our started coming down and we were heading down. So, let's see. He has a lot to write here. I'm going to link to this too in the show notes so you guys can read his threads. But Luke says, firstly, let's get the conspiracy stuff out of the way for those that aren't caught up with the latest Google lore. In August 2022, Google announced the launch of their first helpful content update along with generically named core updates. Google has released a few similar updates over the past couple of years, all with the apparent aim of making sure all content is helpful and based on firsthand research expertise. The real-world effect of this has resulted in a huge number of small independent publishers being obliterated from the web. And he points to Retro Dodo, but that's also us too. Google has pretty much taken a shotgun to my head and blown it off. This is because nowadays just 16 large media companies dominate Google results. Now, this is interesting. This is an article from Detailed, and it says how 16 companies are dominating the world's Google search results. So it just, I'm not going to read it all, but you can go through here and you can see it just talks about 16 companies that send a combined 3 billion clicks per month to Google. And they pay for this. So monthly search traffic to the 16 companies dominating Google based on estimates from SEMrush in January 2024. So Fandom, Datadash, Meredith, Ziff Davis, Red Ventures, Hearst, Internet Brands, Valnet, Condé Nast, PMC, Vox Media, Future, The Arena, Digital Trends is on there, BDG, Recurrent. So, yeah, you'll have to go through this. There's quite a bit of information here. And if you click on the link down below, I just encourage you to go there and read it and see for yourself what Luke's talking about here. Okay, and so on. He says, this is because nowadays just 16 large companies dominate Google results, even though their articles are questionable at best and demonstrate demonstrably not based on firsthand research or expertise. What Luke is saying there is that that a lot of these companies that are buying, basically paying Google off to be in search results and be at the top, they're big. Well, let's take Forbes, for example. Forbes is a big one. They're always on top of search results, and it's because of their ad pay that they do with Google and how they've gotten in with them. And Forbes does things like the top 10 robot vacuums of 2024, or the top 10 TVs of 2024. But the thing is, Forbes is not doing any of this research. They are just merely going through the internet and looking at other websites that have these same types of lists and copying them. And so that's what Luke is trying to explain here. He says, even though their articles are questionable at best and demonstrably not based on firsthand research or expertise, he points to an article by HouseFresh, where this is one that we pointed to when this all broke. He says, this one says how Google is killing independent sites like ours. So HouseFresh is a review site like us, and they have firsthand knowledge and experience with the products that they review. But Forbes doesn't. So Google is favoring these large websites over the smaller websites that actually put their hands on the product, where Forbes doesn't. And it's frustrating, to say the least. And he goes on to say, and of course, the fact Google is paying these large publishers five figures plus the means to produce content at no cost to help train their AI is just coincidence. And he's got a lot of links here. So again, hit the show notes, guys. Click these links and just read if you're at all interested. And I hope you are interested in this. I know it seems like, I've been harping on this topic since I started this podcast. And it's part of the reason why it's called Gripecast, because so freaking angry about what is happening, and how Alphabet and Google can just completely kill a small publisher with no remorse. With I have no ability to fight back. So yeah, I'm angry. I fully admit that, and I have been reading more and more people in the same situation. Luke is one of them, and Luke's website and websites, I'm sure he has more than one, are considerably bigger than mine, and he's hurting. He's had to let go of, he has employees. He's had to let go of employees because of this, and that's hard. And I wish Luke all the best, and we're all trying to rebuild. We're all trying to pivot. I've used that word so many times. And we're all trying to make the best of this hand we're dealt with that is unfair, and it's thanks to Google. And what can you do? And that's a question, right? That's what can my audience do? What can Luke's audience do to help us? You know what I can tell you? The best thing to do is to share our content, share my content, share this podcast, share my posts, my reviews on social media, on emails, text messages, Signal, Telegram. Make sure you join our Telegram channel. Share, share, share. You know, I know people hate ads. Unfortunately, you know, I actually cut the ads off. I didn't cut them off. I significantly reduced our ads on the site because we're not making anything on them now. So I said, you know, I'm just going to reduce the ads because we're in the situation we're in now. And why keep serving ads and Google keep making money off of that when they're doing what they're doing to us? So, I don't like ads, but they're a necessary evil right now. I've cut them off. But share and support the site. There are lots of ways you can support us. You know, I'm going to talk a little bit about Substack in a minute. I'm on Substack now, and it's kind of an experimentation for me, trying to figure out something else to do. But Substack offers a subscription-based service. So, you know, while I post there, I'm going to be posting Tech Harris content there, but some, you know, kind of more personal, more expansive content there as well. And there's going to be times where I want to experiment with subscriptions. So I encourage you, if you want to support me, if you want to support my work, you can subscribe to my Substack. Again, it'll be linked below. And you can subscribe, you know, subscribing on YouTube, subscribing on Rumble, doing these things are all going to help. You know, people always say, I see on the internet constantly, people are saying, well, you know, why don't you just dump YouTube and go to Rumble and just, you know, we've been on Rumble for a couple of years now. The thing is with Rumble, it's a really politically driven platform. And what I mean to say by that is that the content that is disseminated on Rumble is generally politically based, and we don't do a lot of politics in particular. Do I have political views? Do I have thoughts and opinions? Yes, I do, but it's not something that I produce as content because it's not my space, and I just generally don't talk about that stuff. So it's been hard to get a handle on Rumble, and to be able to grow that channel. Not to mention that Rumble still doesn't have an adequate ad service where, you know, you can actually earn some money with Rumble. They've got some people on their payroll that they work with. I think that they're making some sort of cash flow through Rumble, but small channels like ours aren't making much there at all. But YouTube's not much better. We have over 2,000 subscribers on YouTube, but because the watch hours are low, we're demonetized. So not making any money on YouTube, not making any money on Rumble. I'm creating the content, but what really helps is for you guys to share, subscribe, like the videos. You know, if you have Apple Podcasts, if you have Spotify, you subscribe to both of them. Subscribe to Gripecast on both platforms, and just stop using Google is another way you can help us. Is when you're doing an internet search on DuckDuckGo, start page, Brave search. I have an article on the site that gives you a lot of alternatives to Google search. And unfortunately, I think Google's tanking their search engine. There's a lot of data to show that this new SGE program that they've done is really adversely affecting them. So at any rate, I know I'm ranting and griping and angry, and I am. When you see the 10 plus years of work being destroyed, it's a little more than irritating. So, yeah, I think that's all I got today, guys. You know, I was gonna do a MeWe exclusive, like I usually do every week, but really, I am working a lot lately on a lot of different things. Not only am I working on my podcast stuff and working on Substack stuff, but I'm also actively because, you know, people say, well, why don't you just give up on Google search? Well, I still have to work at trying to get Tech Harris back into the SERPs, which is SERP, search engine results. So I'm working on the back end to figure things out in that respect on the website. But I've never not worked on other opportunities like Bing and DuckDuck. So there's a lot that goes on in the back end of a website and a lot that goes into promoting and trying to build a brand. And I know most of you don't understand that, and that's okay. I'm not asking you to understand that, but what I am asking you is to, is just to know that I'm working hard, and what you see, you know, here on camera, what you just, you know, hear for a half an hour of a podcast is not my entire week. There's a lot of hard work that goes into it. And so I'm working on all these projects, just for my business, to try it out, to get the brand back on track. And, you know, hopefully we're successful. It's my goal. But I'm also reaching out and, putting in some job applications and you know, I may end up going back to work, which will affect my content, which will affect me, my ability to produce content, and that will actually probably be reduced significantly, if I ended up going back to work. So, you know, if I do, I do, you know, God willing, I don't have to, but, you know, I've already told myself, and I've already, you know, I've told God, hey, whatever door opens is the door. If it's the door you want me to go through, then I'm going to go through that door. God is good. He's always been good to me. And, you know, I know that, I've never made it a secret that I'm a Christian. I've never made it a secret that I have strong beliefs in that matter. I don't, preach on my social media platforms. I don't do any of that, but I know that God's been good to me. And that's the least I can do, is say that in public. It's the least I can do to show my appreciation to Christ, is that he's taken care of me and my family for a lot of years. And I know that he's going to do that again, in some way and somehow. So anyway, I'm going to close this podcast. We will not have a MeWe exclusive this week. I want to thank you guys for listening. And I'm, like I said, thanks for those who are listening. Thanks for hanging in there with me. Thanks for listening to these podcasts all the way through. I know that I can ramble sometimes, but hey, I think podcasts are sometimes like that. I've listened to a lot of podcast shows, and I actually enjoy the ones where people ramble. Be much better if I had a guest, and maybe at some point I can get there. I've said that before. Still trying to work that out in my brain and how I can do that. But I appreciate you guys. I hope you guys had a great last couple of weeks. Sorry for not having content out last week. Going forward, still going to try to do a weekly podcast. Hopefully we can get them done. But I appreciate you guys understanding if something comes up and I can't fulfill that weekly podcast commitment. But we will try our best. Also, congratulations to our Rumble winner again. Let me look real quick. Curious about his screen name, because now I want to make sure I shout him out, make sure that he knows that. All right, so we had Arch Shark, it looks like, ARCHSHRK. So his comment is on our video on Rumble. That is the second comment. He says, the problem I have ditching Google is that many of the alternatives would disappear faster than a Google product, which is funny. But yeah, you are the winner, my friend, and I will reach out to you on Rumble and get your shipping details so you can have your Alienware keyboard and mouse and enjoy that. And in the meantime, guys, have a great week. Have a great weekend. Be blessed. Be good to each other. Be kind. And we will talk to you on the other side.